This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Before Him like incense, and the lifting of your hands as the evening sacrifice. Father, we bring our sacrifice before you. We bring our sacrifice before you. We bring the calves of our lips. We bring our praise. We bring our worship. We honor you this day. Kovila monsipa. Berakubala atais kefina. Balantoski babalia compre. Abele suta frania mokapalata. Zaile mokobre. Ilabandoski baba. Alabrateskeba. Zibamporia fali monsila. Apreni monsika palia compala. Jatabaria kotoba. Abalate kofrana. Valia monsika parani compele. Ziborotos. Can you go ahead and just bless the Lord? Zilevele kota. Prania bokova. Alamina monsika. Paria mokavalata. Alabasama sidi via. Kobre kete. Bolo sisi fiki pia kapo. Lord, we wait upon you tonight. Sevine mokava. Aseparana suske. Epreti losivalata. Can you go ahead and pray in the Spirit? Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Levia mosi le combrekila. Balazilo combrekita balasana. Alabrandeski babalakuta vavo. Alebrondo si babala mukapala. Apreketis kapalia monsila. Beliamo coperiata la brandeskiba. Apelecuna asapala. Zabrantoskeba. Pelecuta brantaskeba. Pelecuria babala sida. Samantaka. Abalata curia bavala. Elia brocosiva. Sababalakaya. Mandoskiba. Palia combrekete. Apreketila paranata. Zabaliata combrekila. Mantos kebebele kuta bababo. Halia brada basana malakada. Mandala bababasika prakataba. Amprakatila parasika. Asika bababalakida varata. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name, O God, shall be praised. And in every place incense and a pure offering shall be brought to the Lord of hosts. For your name shall be great among all nations. Ila balakata. Can you pray? Can you pray? Can you pray like somebody that means business with God tonight? Haliamon sevila matai. Habelia combrekito. Zababalakuna. Belekombretis kapana. Le compele ziza. Zabalata combre. Ele combre kida ala brandoski babalakala asababa balakota brantes malia mokoba balosiza alabarata zamia mokoba balosiza avranina malia mokaba balasada asabele combre te montakula skabambola mantakuta cambre pelekuta bababo abepele sebe Ebrondosus kepila abrakata babalakuna alabranda sika asaka bababalakuria alabranda sika panya monte monte kuta monta kaya manta kuta branta skaba abepele kuta bababo asabababalakana aria babalasanda brako mandolo brondoskiba Palia combre ketila, ala bradia sos of regadiska, elebrondo sos kebilatua, aprecatecula, ala brondo sila sababo, ababalia mokava, alia brotoskiva, cabante, ampeteca prata caba, mantacata prata, Apapala kota baba. Abrakateko. Shapalia kopa. Apataka branta. Shakababa balakata branta. Ala bragadila barakata baba. Elia baba baliata. Zebrondo sila. Brondo sika palia. Oh, quicken us, O God. And we shall call upon your name. And we shall call upon your name. Melemo sose. Vretekito. Balakuta vranteski bababokoskia. Oh, Spirit of God, we thank you. We thank you for light tonight. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank you for equipping. We thank you for trainings. We thank you for empowerment. Oh, we thank you for impartation. You are raising your army in the earth. You are raising a people that will advance your kingdom to the ends of the earth. You are raising a people of purpose, a people of power. A people that will do your bidding in the earth. A people that will reign and rule in the earth. And so, Jesus, we give you glory and praise tonight. Thank you for illumination. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the spirit of faith. Thank you for the spirit of dominion. Thank you for grace and glory tonight. Lord, let everyone be equipped, be empowered by the truth of your word. Let grace be poured into our vessel tonight. Let every yoke of the wicked one break from the lives of men. Plant our feet on the path of destiny. Plant us on the path of destiny. Let the resources of God be made available for us to transact the business of destiny. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you please have your seat in the house of God? Please reduce your volume. Hallelujah. You're welcome to the gathering tonight. And I trust that the Lord will do us good tonight. Amen. If you have your Bible, open with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Can you reduce the volume a little? When it's time to increase it, you do it. Genesis chapter 1. Let's read from verse 26. And God said, let's read from verse 1. And then we come to 26. 1 to 3, and then we come to 26. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So let's come to 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless his word. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, he saw that the earth was without form and void. He saw that darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. and there was light. Amen. God wanted to change the situation of things. God was faced with a task. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. But from verse 1 and verse 2, something happened. Something happened upon the face of the earth. From verse 1 and 2 was the fall of Lucifer and the host of angels that fell with him. And so the earth became without form and void. When you go to the writings of Ezekiel, the writings of Jeremiah, there are insights that shows us, even the book of Job. I don't have time to focus on that now. There are insights from the book of Job, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Isaiah, that shows us that something actually happened between verse 1 and verse 2, and God had to do a work of refurnishing the earth. He had to renovate the earth in order for man to come into the earth. Amen. Pastor Godwin, it's good to see you. You're welcome. Please just have him come to the minister's seat. You're welcome. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep because Lucifer and the other angels had been cast into the earth. They were the reason why the earth was without form and void. The Bible said the Spirit of God was brooding upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. If you read further, you'll find out that the light that God speaks about in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, he was not talking about the sun and the moon. It was later on God created the sun and the moon. When you go further, you see when God called the sun, the firmament, the constellations of the heaven to come into being. And so God was releasing his very essence over creation. He was releasing his light into creation to deal with the works of darkness that was upon the earth. Amen. And so when you read further, you see all the works of God from the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and on the sixth day God created man. You will see that as you read. But verse 26 tells us that, and God said, Elohim, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness, and let them have dominion. Let us make man after our image and after our likeness. And the Bible says, and let them have dominion over what? The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God was establishing man to have dominion over the earth, that's the land, the sea, and the air. He was giving man three spheres of influence to exercise his dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and the earth and everything that creepeth on the earth. And the Bible says, God bless man and say, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So from the beginning, the first word that man received from God was the blessing, was an empowerment to be able to multiply, an empowerment to be able to replenish the earth, to subdue it, and to have dominion. So God created man in his very own image and likeness in order to exercise dominion on the earth. That's the reason why God created man. He created man to exercise dominion over the earth. And you will see in Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, put chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible says God took the man that he created, Adam, and put in the garden. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So the responsibility of man was twofold. Number one, to dress the garden. That means he was supposed to till the land, take care of the garden. You see, man is created to live in two worlds. Are you following me? Man is a tripartite being. Man is spirit, soul, and body. With his spirit, he makes contact with the spirit realm. With his body, he makes contact with the physical realm. With his soul, the soul is the intermediary. The soul interfaces the spirit realm and the physical realm. So man is the only creature, the creation of God, that was designed to live in two worlds. God is spirit, he lives in the spirit. He has his influence over the physical realm and over all his creation. But God is spirit. God is not flesh and blood. Angels are spirits. Demons are spirits. They live in the spirit world. But their influence can be seen in the physical realm. Are you following that? Animals are bodies with souls. Animals don't have spirit. That's why if your goat dies or your dog, it will not go to heaven or hell. Animals were designed to live in this realm. It is only man that was created in the image and the likeness of God to live in two worlds. If God did not want man to live in the physical world, he wouldn't have given man body. As a proof that man is supposed to live in two worlds, the spirit world and the physical world, the composition of man is both made of spiritual and physical material. Are you following me? The spirit of man came from God, who is spirit. But the body of man came from this earth. So man is made both of spiritual and physical material because he's supposed to live in two worlds. And so when God created Adam and put in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says God put him in the garden to till the land and to dress the land and to keep it. The word to keep there is not talking about physical guardianship. The word to keep there is from the Hebrew word shamar. If you have your lexicon, you check it, your concordance, is the word to guard. So God created man to both do a physical work of tilling the land, making the land to spread, making that Garden of Eden to spread throughout the earth. That was a physical task. But you see, man also had a spiritual side to his assignment. The Bible says he was supposed to keep it. He was supposed to guard it. He was not guarding the creation of God against animals. He was not guarding it against another man, because there was no other man that he was going to be afraid of. So when God told Adam to dress the garden and to keep it, I told you, I said the word keep there means to guard, to protect, to watch over. Is the Hebrew word shamar. That's where we get the word watchman from. You see, in Isaiah 21 verse 6, the Bible says, watchman, what of the night? The watchman is supposed to watch over it. He's supposed to guard. In Israel, the prophets were called as watchmen. They were to watch over Israel in the realm of the spirit. They were physical watchmen upon the walls of Israel, upon the city walls, upon the that walk in the streets. There were watchmen upon the mountains that were supposed to see a physical invasion coming upon the land and alert the soldiers, alert the entire people for war. So they were physical shaman, but the prophets were spiritual watchmen over Israel. And so Adam was both to carry out a physical work of extending the garden throughout the earth, number one, and then he was supposed to carry out a spiritual responsibility as a shaman, as a watchman over the creation of God. Why will God ask Adam to watch over the garden, to keep it, to guard it, to preserve it, if he wasn't expecting an intruder to come in? Adam was supposed to be the guardian over the creation of God on the earth. So Adam was supposed to have both a physical and a spiritual responsibility over the earth. Why was God asking Adam to guard the earth? Why did you lock your house before coming? Why do you protect your property if you did not think that there was a possibility of an intruder coming in? Why is the bank one of the most secure places? Because of the treasure that is therein. So when God asked Adam to guard, to keep the earth, the garden. It was not a physical protection, as it were. Adam was supposed to play the role of a watchman over creation, over the garden. Over the garden first, and by extension, over creation. So Adam had both a physical and a spiritual task from God. In the physical, he's supposed to extend the garden. In the spiritual realm, he's supposed to guard against the influence of the intruder. Who is the intruder? The devil. The one who made the earth to become without void. The one who brought darkness upon the earth by his fall. The fallen angels that came into the earth and brought darkness upon the earth. Adam was supposed to carry out the spiritual responsibility of guarding the earth, keeping the earth from their invasion. But because Adam fell in his responsibility, darkness came upon the earth. Sin came into the earth. Death came into the earth. All kinds of wickedness came into the earth. But you see, God had not changed his mind about his plan for man. The plan of God for man is for man to have dominion. And the dominion is going to be both the birds of the air. That means the air, the land, and the sea. Now you will read the book of Genesis, you will think God was only saying Adam should have physical dominion. No, the dominion of Adam was supposed to be both physical and spiritual. Because don't forget, the beings, the angels that fell from heaven into the earth together with Lucifer, when you read through the scripture, read the book of Revelation, read the writings of the prophet, you will know that there were some of them that had their influence over the heavens. There were some of them that have their influence over the land. There are some of them that have their influence over the sea. I will show you from the scripture that there are princes and creations and creatures in the sea that man is supposed to exercise authority over them if he's going to walk in dominion on the earth. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12. When you read from verse 7, the Bible says, and there was war in heaven. And Satan, the devil and his angels, the Bible says, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. And there was no place found anymore for them in heaven. They were cast into the earth. Go on. The Bible says the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Go on. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Go on. And he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the dead. The next verse. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having a great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. So the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, because the devil is come to you, knowing that he had but a great wrath. When you look at the things that the prophet saw, he was not just talking about the last days. You see, in prophetic disclosures, there are times, in prophetic intimations, there are times that you are shown the past, the present, the future. That's why when we receive revelations and supernatural encounters from God, we need the spirit of wisdom to give us interpretation and understanding of the revelation that we are receiving. So Paul, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, prayed that God will give the believer the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In order of function, it is the spirit of revelation first and the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of revelation unveils. The spirit of wisdom brings you into understanding, into interpretation, and what you need to do with what you have been shown. So John was not just talking about that in the last day Satan will be cast out. At some point, John, in his prophetic oracle or the visions that he was shown both the past, the present, and the future. When you read the book of Revelations, when you read the writings of the prophet, you will need the spirit of wisdom to understand when the prophets are speaking about the past, when they are speaking about the present, when they are speaking about the future. So it wasn't that time that Lucifer fell. He was going back into time to see what happened before man was created in the earth. So when God created man and he had man, asked man to dress the garden and to keep the garden, he knew that the enemy of mankind had been cast into where? Into the earth. He knew that Satan was in the earth. He knew that the fallen angels, some of them had their authority in the waters, some of them were in the powers, the constellations, some of them were in the air, some of them were on the land. So God told Adam to do what? To keep that garden. To keep it against the intrusion, against the invasion of the enemy. While he was carrying out the physical responsibility, he was supposed to have a spiritual oversight over the garden. He was supposed to establish the dominion of God on earth in the spiritual and in the physical. He was supposed to establish the dominion of God over the air, the land, and the sea. God designed man to have dominion. You will see David in Psalm 8. He will speak and say, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visited him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, the Elohim. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have set man to have dominion over the works of your hand. So God set man to have dominion over the works of his hand. He said, you have put all things under his feet. God put all things under the feet of man. Man was created to wield authority and dominion on the earth. Not just over the physical creation of God, but over spiritual influences that come into the physical creation of God. Over spirits being that will want to exert negative influence over the creation of God, over the earth realm. Because man lives in the spirit and in the physical. So man, Adam was supposed to dress and do what? Keep the garden. And he was supposed to hinder demonic powers from having influence over the physical space that God had given him. But man failed in his responsibility as a watchman. And all of the darkness came into the earth. And throughout time, God was seeking to restore man. God was seeking to bring man to that place of authority. And so you will see the things that God began to do through the prophet. If you read through the scripture, you will see the insights that God began to reveal through different of his servants to bring man to that understanding that his responsibility is to establish the dominion of God in the earth. God created man to rule. We will see in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says, for God has made us priests and kings unto our God, and we shall reign on earth forever and ever. Because earth belongs to man. God called us in Christ Jesus as new creation to be kings and priests. And then to do what? To rule, to reign on earth. Can you see that? He made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. The place for our dominion is the earth. We are supposed to reign on the earth. Because we are spiritual and physical beings, we are supposed to hinder the influence of the enemy from the spirit realm into the earth realm, into our sphere of authority. He made us as kings and priests to rule on the earth. The believer being called as kings and as priests is giving expression to the mandate of God and what God has called man to be. And how God created man. The Genesis that we read from the Bible says God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. Priesthood talks about expressing the image of God on the earth. Kingship talks about representing the likeness of God. Are you following that? When the Bible says we are called to be kings and priests, it is in priesthood that we express the image of God on the earth. It is in kingship that we represent the authority of God, his likeness in the earth. So when we spend time seeking God, walking with God, priesthood affords us the opportunity to build the presence of God in our life, to fellowship with God, so that we can express his image, so that we can express his character. That's what priesthood is about. It brings you to that place of transformation where you know Christ, you know his spirit, you experience him, you can express his image on earth. That's what priesthood is about. But you see, our kingship is about representing the likeness of God in the earth. So the new creation is both a priest and a king. As a priest, he's supposed to express the image of God on the earth. As a king, he's supposed to do what? Represent the likeness of God in the earth. So in priesthood, we are expressing the nature and the character of God. But in kingship, we are doing what? We are representing God on the earth. So Adam was supposed to function as a priest when he fellowships with God. He receives of the image of God that he expresses in everything he does. But as a king, he's supposed to represent God over creation. So he's supposed to take authority over creation and over demonic influences that seek to govern the earth. So if we are going to reign on earth, if we are going to walk in dominion on the earth, we must walk in both our priesthood and our kingship. It is easy to see the believer desire to walk as a king on the earth. It is easy to see the believer say, I want to decree and declare and change things. We will come to that. But what actually gives the believer the authority to speak and to see things change, to rule over the forces of the earth and to establish dominion in the earth is his priesthood. It is as he spends time with God that he receives the glory of God, the impartation of the life of God. He expresses God. And then he's empowered by the Spirit of God to represent God before creation, to represent God before the forces of darkness. Man is supposed to put away the hand of the enemy over the creation of God. So priesthood and kingship brings us to the place where we can reign on earth. It means we can establish the dominion of God on the earth. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 tells us, say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. It's the church that is supposed to extend the government and the peace of Christ in the earth. It's the church that is supposed to establish his dominion in the earth. Because the Bible said the government shall be upon the shoulder. Christ is the head. The church is the body. So the government rests upon what? The shoulder is part of the body. He is the head. He's the place of authority. The church is his body. His government is upon the shoulder, upon the church. We are the ones that are supposed to establish dominion in the earth. We are the ones that are supposed to put away the works of darkness and bring the light of God into our world. Hallelujah. Man is created in the image and the likeness of God. It means man was created to be a god in the earth. He's supposed to represent God as a god, small letter G, on the earth. You were created to be a god in the earth. Should I show you in the scripture? In John chapter 10 verse 34, Jesus had been speaking before that time that he and his father are one. And the people began to question his authority. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? Look at the next verse. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. So God says we are God. A man who receives the word of God, receives the authority of God to legislate on behalf of God on the earth. Jesus said, is it not written in the law that you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, the scripture cannot be broken. So man is called to be a god on earth. He's called to be a god over the creation of the Father. He's called to be a god over the powers of darkness. You will see in Exodus chapter 7, when God came to Moses, he said, Moses, I've made you a god over Pharaoh, and Aaron shall be your prophet. I have made you what? A god over Pharaoh. Jesus said, is it not written in your law that you are gods? Because he said, I and my father are one. How can you say you and God are one? Jesus said, he calls them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came. And where did Jesus draw that from the scripture? In Psalms chapter 82. From verse 1. He said, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. He judges among the gods. The gods here is not talking of maybe the god in your village that people worship. He's not talking about the idols, the demons. He's talking about men that he has said to be custodians of his authority on the earth. He said, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. He said, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked? Go on. He said, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the enemy. Can you see why God gives men anointing? Can you see why God gives men governmental authority? Can you see why God empowers you for dominion? It's so that you can stand as a God and bring the judgment of God in the earth. It's so that you can be able to deliver the poor and the afflicted from the hand of the enemy. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes of God that fell. Satan was one of the princes. Lucifer, one of the princes that fell. He said, you shall fall like men. You shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Look at the last verse. Put the last verse. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit the nations. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. The mighty, the gods, are people that God raised to be custodians of his authority over the earth. The new creation in Christ Jesus falls in this category. Jesus said he did not call them gods to whom the word of the Lord came. So to us whom the word of the Lord has come, we are now new creation. We are now the people of God. Jesus calls us gods. And therefore Jesus is saying that, the Father is saying, if he sees wickedness and oppression and injustice in the earth, it's because the sons of God do not know who they are. He said, are you not supposed to deliver the poor and rid them from the hand of the wicked? But they know not, neither would they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth were out of course. The moment Adam fell, all the foundations of the earth went out of course. The laws that God set to regulate the earth went out of course. Every creation of God was supposed to be under the authority of man. The animals were supposed to be under the authority of man. Nature was supposed to be under the authority of man. Today, the same nature is fighting man. That's why there are earthquakes. That's why there are floods. That's why there are storms. All of the elements of nature begins to fight man. The same man that he's supposed to submit on. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 8 says creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Creation is groaning, waiting to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. So the sons of God that are God's call to be priests and kings are the ones who are saddled with the authority to deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. We are the ones that are supposed to deliver the poor and the oppressed and rid them from the hands of the wicked. But if you do not know who you are, the earth will be out of course. You are going to fall like one of the princes. So God calls us to come into our new identity as sons of God, as a people made in the image and the likeness of God, as new creation in Christ Jesus. We are supposed to wield the authority of God over the earth and rid men, rid the poor, rid the needy. The needy and the poor is not necessarily talking about people who don't have food to eat. People who are in need of the liberty that only Christ can bring. You can be wealthy in dollars, but you are poor before God. You can be wealthy in dollars yet be oppressed by demons, be oppressed by witches. And the saints, the new creation in Christ, is saddled with the authority to conquer the forces of wickedness and to deliver men from their control. So God calls us to walk in authority. He calls us to rule in the earth. He calls us to establish his dominion. And there are things that the believer must understand if he's going to walk in authority, if you are going to rule over the forces of life, over the elements. Man must understand what Christ has done for him. Man must understand that the authority of God has been given to us. And how we exercise the authority is by speaking. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When he saw that the earth was out of form, when he saw that darkness was upon the face of the deep, what did God do? God spoke. God spoke. In order for God to change things, God spoke. In order for God to end the rule of darkness over the earth, God spoke. And so we are made in the image and the likeness of God. When we spend time with God in fellowship, carrying out our priesthood, the very glory, the very authority of God rests upon us, so that we can stand over other fallen men. We can stand over creation to exercise the dominion of God. We can stand over fallen men to rid them out of the hands of the enemy, to deliver them from the forces of wickedness. We can stand over fallen men to see the hand of the enemy broken over their lives. He calls us to exercise authority. God rules by his word. And because we are created to be priests and kings unto God, we are to rule by our words. We are in the image and the likeness of the Christ. The same way Christ had authority over the earth. While Jesus walked on the earth, he could not be killed until his time came. Jesus could not be killed. He actually laid down his life. You will see, I think in Luke chapter 4, they took Jesus to the cliff of the mountain. They wanted to push him down. The Bible says he walked through them. Jesus could not be killed by men. Even Satan could not kill him. Jesus exercised the fullness of authority. We saw that Jesus exercised authority over the wind, over the storm, over the element of the earth, over the element of nature. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He brought even the dead that was beginning to stink. Jesus exercised authority as a king in the earth. But you see that through the night season, Jesus will spend with the Father. That's priesthood. He will spend the night season in prayer, in fellowship with the Father. That's priesthood. And then when he steps into the day, he will begin to exercise his kingship. He will enter a place. He will see a widow called the widow of Nain, mourning because her son is going to be buried. He will touch the guy. The guy will rise from the dead. He will go to the tomb of Lazarus and say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. Jesus was exercising authority. He was walking in dominion. And the Bible says we are new creation in his image and in his likeness. He calls us to speak words and change things on the earth. He calls us to exercise the same authority. He calls us to have dominion over everything around us in the earth. But I want you to know that exercising prophetic dominion, speaking and seeing things change, is not just by speaking words because you saw somebody speak. There are two elements that make up the prophetic, and every believer must understand it. If you are going to exercise what we call prophetic authority, you are going to speak and see things change. You are going to speak and demons will be bound. You must understand these two elements. The first is called revelation, the spirit of revelation. There is no prophetic without the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation is what brings you insight, is what brings you into the knowledge of the mind of God, is what shows you what God wants to do. You don't just begin to speak. You speak because revelation has come to you. You speak because the spirit of revelation has unlocked the mind of God to you. Either when you were praying, the mind of God was revealed in your spirit, or as you study the scripture, you listen to sermons, the mind of God is revealed. The mind of God is revealed through the word of God. So if you are going to exercise prophetic dominion and see things change in the earth, number one, the spirit of revelation must be activated in you. You must come into the mind of God. You must know the thoughts of God, the things that God wants to do. You don't just begin to speak. Ezekiel chapter, Isaiah chapter 55, it said, let the unrighteous depart from his ways and the wicked man from his thoughts. Let him come to God. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heaven is high above the earth, so are my ways your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So if you are truly going to be prophetic and exercise prophetic dominion in the earth, number one, you must come into revelation. You must come into the thoughts of God. You must come into the mind of God. You must know what the will of God is in a situation. That's number one. Number two, the spirit of faith must be activated in you. Because the prophetic is not prophetic until it is spoken. Things are not going to change simply because God revealed it to you. Things are going to change because you acted upon the revelation that you have received. You spoke based on the revelation that you have received. God saw that the earth was without form and void. In order for God to change it, he didn't just say, let me close my eye and wish that the earth changes. He spoke over it. So prophetic dominion is by speaking, is by releasing the utterance of God. And the two elements that brings us to that place where we can speak and release the authority and the power of God over people's lives, over situations, to see them align with the will of God is revelation. You must come into revelation. When revelation comes, the spirit of faith must activate us. The spirit of faith is a power operation. That's why when you see in the nine gifts of the spirit, there's the revelation gift, the utterance gift, and the power gift. Faith is the major gift among the power gifts. Faith can bet miracles. Faith can bet healing. In the power gift, there's a gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of working of miracles. Faith can activate healings. Faith can activate miracles. Faith can change the laws of nature. That's what miracle is. Where the laws of nature are suspended for a divine intervention. God intervenes in a situation and the laws of nature are suspended. Natural laws or social laws, all kinds of laws are suspended because God wants to intervene in a situation for a people. That's what miracles is all about. So the Bible talks about the gift of healing and the gift of workings of miracles and the gift of faith. Faith is actually the gift that opened the door to power. That's why you cannot release a prophetic utterance that will cause a change without the spirit of faith. Things will not change without faith. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believing that the things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Mark 11:23. So prophetic dominion is released through words. And what power your utterance is revelation and faith. The spirit of revelation and the spirit of faith. You don't just speak because you see somebody speak. So two people can say the same thing and have different effects. One person is speaking from the place of revelation that sponsors faith in his heart. And that's why his utterance will bring about change. Another person is just speaking because he was told by somebody to speak or because he's seen somebody speaking. So expressing prophetic dominion in the earth is going to come by the spirit of revelation and the spirit of faith. These are the two foundation for the prophetic. And I'll show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 2. Paul said, if I have the gift of prophecy and I understand mysteries and knowledge and I have faith so that I could remove mountain and I have not love, I am nothing. Can you see that the prophetic here has to do with prophetic revelation and prophetic declaration? Can you see that? If I have the gift of prophecy and I can understand mysteries and knowledge. It is by revelation that you can understand mysteries and knowledge. So one arm of the prophetic has to do with revelation. The other component of the prophetic has to do with faith. That's why I say what empowers us for prophetic dominion is revelation and faith. Revelation into the mind of God. The prophetic anointing gives you revelation into the mind of God. So the first component of the prophetic is revelation. Your ability to know mysteries and knowledge. Your ability to know something that God wants to do. Whether as you read the scripture, because the scripture is the more sure word of prophecy. The scripture is a prophetic book. Every word of God is prophetic. So when you speak the words of God, the power of God will be released to effect change. For I have the gift of prophecy and I understand mysteries and knowledge, and I have faith so that I can remove mountains. So you see the other element. And Jesus shows us, how do you remove mountains? By speaking. That's why I said the two major elements of the prophetic is revelation and faith. The will of God must come to you. You must know what God wants to achieve in the situation, and then you must be imparted with faith, so that when you speak, your words are galvanized with the divine energy of God to change. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So number one, you must know the will of God, that God wants to remove the mountain. You must know it by revelation. Number two, you must come into faith, so that when you speak, your words are released with power. Because I said faith is the gateway to power. But there cannot be faith where the will of God is not known. Faith is not just talking because people are talking. Genuine Bible faith is born from revelation of the will of God. So when the will of God is known, is communicated to you by revelation, the spirit of faith empowers you so that your utterances are galvanized with the power of God to bring the required change. I am connecting it to prophetic dominion. Because when we want to dominate and change things, it's not just to come to church and speak because we are asked to speak. So many believers are speaking over things, they are not seeing the change, and they are getting frustrated. But how we come to that place where our words have the power to bring change is that there must first of all be revelation. And then faith. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 32, the Bible said, time shall fail me to speak of Gideon, of Samson, of Barak, of Samuel, of David, of all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, out of weakness were made strong, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How were they able to do that? The Bible said, through faith. But the faith to do the things that they did was not born outside of the will of God. So there was first a revelation of the will of God. The reason why Gideon would be willing to go to war against the Midianite was because there was first a revelation of the will of God concerning the situation. The angel came to him and said, oh, thou mighty man of valor. And he said, me, a mighty man of valor. Where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? God has suddenly forgotten us. And the angel said, go in this thy mind, for thou shalt save Israel as one man. So the revelation of the will of God came first. And then Gideon was empowered by the spirit of faith. You even see at one time that Gideon was afraid. God had to allow him to listen to the dream of one of the Midianites, who had a dream and he saw that a loaf of bread fell into the camp and collapsed the building. And when another of his colleagues was interpreting to him, he said, this is nothing but the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon had received an encounter, a revelation had come, but God needed to create a situation for the spirit of faith to rise in Gideon, so that Gideon will go to do the work of God. So when you read the book of Hebrews, you would just think it was just faith that just supernaturally came upon the people to do the things that they did. No, there was first the revelation of the will of God. There was first understanding. Abraham could not just believe God that Sarah would conceive and bring forth when he was 100 years old, except that the mind of God had come. It was the revelation of the will of God that brought Abraham to the place of faith. So exercising dominion, changing situations, speaking and see the hand of God move is not just going to happen because you saw somebody spoke and then you are going to speak. No, there must first of all be revelation. You can be speaking over a situation in your family and nothing is changing. The day God takes you, removes the curtains of the spirit realm and gives you insight and gives you understanding about the true state of that thing, when you speak from that day, your utterance will be different. The change will be established because revelation has come, and that revelation has sponsored faith in your heart, so that when you now speak, the power of God is released. That's why the prophetic can release miracles. That's why the prophetic can bring about victory, about breakthrough, about the manifestations of God. Because when the revelation of the will of God comes and you hold on to it, the spirit of faith comes to empower you so that when you speak, your utterances release the power of God to effect change. Are you following me? So exercising dominion on the earth is not just going to be by naming and claiming. It's first of all going to be that we come into the place of revelation. That the spirit of faith take over our soul, take over our heart, so that our utterances release the power of God. You see, I can't even finish what I'm teaching today. It's just an introduction. Because as I study the word and pray, in the seasons of my meditations, the things that the Lord began to bring to my heart to understand is that the saints must learn battle strategies for the last days. We must learn battle strategies for the last days. We must learn how to deal with wickedness in the last days. So I can't even do all of that just tonight. And that's why as we stay with the word of God, as we spend time in prayer, our hearts must crave for revelation. Because when genuine revelation comes, the spirit of faith will clothe you. So that when you speak, issues that have been for decades and ages can shift. Elijah did not just come to Israel and say there will be no rain except by my word. He stayed in the presence of God. He found the will of God. The scriptures do not tell us for how long Elijah prayed before the will of God came. You know, some of you think in every situation, you just close your eyes and God will speak. Even as a prophet, there are times that you seek God for long on issues. Sometimes for months, he will not even see anything. Read the Bible. They came to Jeremiah to find out the will of God. Jeremiah said, give me time. He prayed. It was after 10 days he heard what God was saying concerning the situation. And sometimes it can be for long. After Elijah spoke and shut the heavens, he didn't hear from God again on that matter until the next 3.5 years. Who told you that God is under obligation to speak to you every moment? When Elijah shut the heaven, God did not say a word on that matter until the next 3.5 years. Many of you think the prophetic is parroting. Every moment you turn, thus hear the Lord. God did not talk to Elijah on that matter again. People were dying of starvation. The economy went down. All kinds of things were going on. God did not say anything. See, after 3.5 years that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, he said, now go show yourself to Ahab and I'll send rain in the earth. It was James that told us that it took 3.5 years. He was a man of like passion. He prayed that there should be no rain. The heaven held the rain. He prayed again. After 3.5 years, the heaven brought rain. So Elijah had to wait until the word of God comes, because God is a king. And so there are issues around our lives, around our families, around our nations that we want to change. It's not just going to happen because they told you, just decree and declare. You have been decreeing there are things that have not changed. So we must stay until the mind of God is disclosed. I find out that the prophetic is not just to speak. Revelation must come. The spirit of faith must mantle you. It is at that point that you can speak and mountains will be removed. Mountains will be removed. Things will change. Because where the word of a king is, there's power. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 10. It says, for divine sentence is in the lips of the king, and he does not transgress in judgment. I said, wow, a divine sentence. It means when I spend time with the Holy Ghost praying, and he puts his divine sentence in my mouth, when I speak, it's as though God is speaking. Nothing can change it. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. He said kings don't transgress in judgment. When they speak, when they release the judgment of God, things must change. A divine sentence. It means you must stay with God to the point where he puts that word concerning that situation in your mouth. If he has not put that word, speak anything you want to say. Name and claim anything you want. It will not change. How the men of old that found favor with God changed nations. How they changed situations was that they were willing to stay in the presence of God until the word of the Lord will come. You will hear the Bible say, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. It means if the word of the Lord has not come, it has not come, and there's nothing you can do. Your humanity is going to be revealed when you try to do something for which the word of the Lord has not come. But when the word of the Lord comes, then a divine sentence has entered your mouth. When you speak, things will move. That's how to exercise prophetic dominion in the earth. That's why I'd rather preach and pray and go and sit down than speak empty words when God is not speaking. Elijah was not a regular prophet in Israel, moving all about telling people, if I see your face, I prophesy. That's why there's so much divination going on, and you say it's prophetic ministry. Read the Bible and find out how precious the word of the Lord was to the prophets. The Holy Ghost that walked with them was not a parrot, and he's still not a parrot. He doesn't tell people, I see your face, I prophesy. When you hear somebody saying that, know that divination is at work. Because when somebody is walking under divination, he doesn't need the authority of God. He doesn't need God to say anything. It's a spirit for gain, and Satan wants to plunder as many lives as possible. That's why the lady in Acts chapter 16, everywhere she went, she was just doing soothsaying, just restyling, and gathering money for her master. But when you find people that stay in the presence of God, the word of God is precious. There are times God can give you an utterance. If the anointing to say it has not come, I'll carry that word in my heart and go home. I would rather not say it because I have not felt the unctions to release it than to release words that is not backed by power. Because every utterance of God is time locked. There is a time to release an utterance. You can receive an utterance from the Lord. If the anointing to release it has not come, you will rather need to carry that word and pray until God touches your tongue, until he lubricates your tongue with power. Then you know that if you speak that word now, the hand of God can move. God can tell you, arise and judge this thing that Satan is doing. Well, you know that at that point, the unction to judge it has not come. So you will stay in prayer. When the unction rises, then you will face that situation and begin to judge it. That's when power is released. So we want to walk in dominion. We must stay in the presence of God. We must stay in the word of God until the word of God comes. Until the faith, the empowerment of the spirit that is required to change the situation is released. There's so much wickedness going on in the earth, and God is raising sons to fight. Because of time, a part of this teaching, I will not be able to share it now. Walking in dominion, exercising dominion over the works of the enemy. Psalms chapter 110. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send forth the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. He says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy wheat. The Lord is sending the rod of his strength out of Zion to do what? To rule in the midst of thy enemy. So God gives us authority so that we can rule in the midst of our enemies. So that we can rule over the works of darkness. We can exercise dominion over the powers of the enemy. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you what? Power, authority. I give unto you power to trample upon snakes and scorpions and upon all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies harm you. So Jesus is saying, I give you authority, I give you power to exercise dominion over the works of the enemy. So when we talk about prophetic dominion, we are talking about exercising authority over the works of the enemy, exercising authority over the things that the enemy has influenced, over demons, over situations that are out of shape and order. We stand by the Spirit of God and we exercise authority. And if we are going to do that, we must have certain insight about the spirit realm. I told you, I said Adam was supposed to exercise the authority of God both in the earth realm and in the spirit. because he was made to live both in the spirit realm and in the physical realm. For certain things to change in the earth realm, man must release words into the realm of the spirit to effect change in the realm of the spirit, and then we'll begin to see the manifestation on the earth. There are many things around us that if it's going to change in the physical, we must address it first. If a person has sickness in his body sponsored by demons, it's not just the healing anointing to heal the flesh. You need to release a word of authority that will deal with the spirit element that is responsible for that affliction. So that when the spirit element leaves, the anointing cannot begin to effect healing on the body of the person. So many of the sicknesses people go through have their root in demons. So when we speak, the spirit component of that sickness leaves. Sometimes automatically the person begins to recover. Sometimes you will need to speak again or lay hands, like the situation of the woman in Luke chapter 13 that Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and he saw that she was bowed down, she could not raise herself, and he said, "Woman, you are loose from thy infirmity." He saw her having the spirit of infirmity. That thing that looked like hunchback, bent back, it was a demon that was hiding there. So when Jesus said, "You are loose from that infirmity," he cast out the demons by those words of authority. And the next thing Jesus needed to do, the Bible says, he laid hands on her. So the spirit element was dealt with by his words. And then the physical deformation was taken care of by the dunamis of God, the power of God that went into her body. There are times people can have deafening spirit. You bind the spirit. The moment the spirit goes, the person's ears begins to hear. But you see, if that spirit has caused a physical damage, maybe to the eardrum, to the tissue or some things, we need to release the power of God to do a repair to the flesh. To do a repair to the physical parts. And because God is all powerful, sometimes that one utterance that you release will carry a dual function. It will expel the spirit and it will renew that part of the flesh. But you see, the reason why we need to exercise prophetic dominion in the earth is because many of the things that are out of order in the lives of people and in the earth have their spirit component. They are things that are caused by spirit. I can tell you that up to 80% of the problems that people go through have spirit components. They are not just physical. Not everybody failed exam because they didn't read. Not everybody is poor because they are lazy. Not everybody cannot have certain miracles or testimony and demons. But you see, angels walk at the authority of God. You need to be under the authority of God before angels can hearken to your command. But demons, people who seek demons is because they are not under the government of God. A demon can walk with a man at will. That's why people who have familiar spirit, spirit of divination, all of those things, they can operate it anytime they want. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, even though there's a measure of the gift of God that you can operate at your will, at your desire, there is still a limitation to how much your will and your desire can allow the Holy Spirit to work. There are times that's not what he wants to do. If you lack desire from today to tomorrow, he will not work, because the Holy Spirit is not serving you. You are called to serve him. So it's not everything he will do because you will it. Some things he will do it to honor your sacrifice and commitment in his presence. But some things, if you like will it, if you like desire it, if you like cry for it, if God doesn't want to do it, he will not do it. Because God is not serving you, you are the one serving him. So God wants to make us understand that we are called to exercise authority. One of the areas that I wanted to touch tonight is how to engage the forces of the earth, the elements of the heavens, in order to counter the works of darkness and establish dominion on the earth. Many believers don't understand that. And everywhere you see witchcraft, you see demonic activities. 90% of the wickedness that you see on earth is that demons carry out those acts in partnership with men. Why do demons need to partner with men in order to carry out their activities on earth? Because Psalm 115 verse 16 tells us that the heavens of the heavens belong to the Lord our God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. We see that it was man that God put on the earth to have dominion in the earth. So if God wants to do certain things on the earth, he will need to work in partnership with man. If Satan wants to do certain things on earth, he will need to work in partnership with man. There are many things you may be seeing happening in people's lives, in families, in communities, in nations, that you may not literally see the devil involved in it now. Or you may not see how that his partnership with men is what is leading to this effect. But if you go into the spirit by the operations of the Spirit of God, you will see that at one time or the other, there was an alliance. There was a partnership between man and Satan, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that opened the gate for him. I hope you know when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and yielded to the instructions of the enemy, they were not doing it willingly to come under the authority of the devil. They didn't know the effect, the consequences of what they were doing. They were deceived. But the Bible said, to whom you yield yourself as servant to obey, the person's servant you become. So Satan fraternizes with people. Demons come into covenant with people without their knowledge. There are people who have established covenant with spirits, and they have opened certain spirit gates that are leading to certain demonic activities, oppressions, and wickedness in the earth, and they do not even know. So don't think covenants are things that are only enacted when people know. Somebody can carry a material that a demonic spirit has been released on it. The moment you touch it, you have established a covenant without you even knowing. When we talk of all of this demonic activity, curses and things being released in the earth, there are many people who are doing it. People are listening to music and spirits are entering them without them even knowing, without them even planning to come into that alliance with these spirits. A woman of God sent me some photos from Europe. And when I saw the photos, you could see that they were demonic arts. And they were placed in specific places, in public places. That when people make contact with those things and either buy those art or do some stuff, they are establishing a covenant without even knowing. There are symbols. Covenants are not only true words. Curses are not released only through words. Covenant curses are released also through contact. When we talk of altar, altar is not just a physical thing that people put stone together and pour blood. A human being can be an altar. Because you are an altar for the Spirit of God. You are a launching pad. You are a place of sacrifice for His Spirit. Objects can be altars. Objects that are unsuspecting can be altars. They can become the gateway for spirit into a place. A ring can be a reason. A portrait, a symbol can just be in a place and everybody looks at it. It's just artwork. It looks unarmed. But that symbol could be what will open the gate for a spirit to access that place. And that's why one of the operations of the Spirit of God that must be heightened in believers in these last days, if we will be equipped to advance the purposes of God, is called discerning of spirit. Our level of discernment must be heightened. And I hope you know discerning is part of the revelation gift. Many believers know word of knowledge, word of wisdom. They like prophecy. They don't even understand how the discerning of spirit works. Because if you are going to be a strong warrior that will bring deliverance to people, that will become a mighty intercessor, that will shift an atmosphere over a person, over a place, and bring the will of God to be done, there is something that the Holy Spirit will do in your heart. He will fine-tune your discernment. So that when you enter a place, you can respond even to the feelings that you are having. And know when the Holy Spirit wants to activate something. And then it begins to activate a stirring in your spirit, calling you to release an utterance that will change an atmosphere, that will shift something in a place, that will open the gate for captive souls to be released. So when we talk of dominion, it is first dominion over the works of darkness, over the powers of darkness. as I counsel people, whether through phone or on ground, I'm amazed at the increase of the activity of darkness in the lives of people. I'm amazed at how much witchcraft is engraved into our culture, into the society. Don't you just say it's only Africa. There is a revival of witchcraft going on in the Western world. There's a revival of the ancient gods coming into the earth. The worship of Molech, Baal, and some of those spirits, Astaroth, some of those demonic spirits that we read about in scripture that people worship as idols. There are activities going on among men that entrench their operations in the earth. And if we are going to see things shift, we must understand the power of revelation. We must understand the spirit of faith. We must stay in prayer until God unlocks these things. And let me tell you, the wickedness that goes on in earth, the partnership between men and spirits, these partnerships are sealed through the element of the earth. Through the wind, through the dust, through the constellations of the heavens. We must learn battle strategies for the last days. We have entered the seasons of sophisticated warfare, where somebody can enter an office and an enchantment is done into the air. A programming is done into the air. And the moment you just enter that place, you pick it. And so our discernment, the ability to discern an atmosphere when you enter. You must know. Enchantment is no longer something that if somebody wants to release an enchantment, it has to be one old man or old woman from the village with a pot with fire, carrying dirty teeth, pouring blood on the ground. The demonic has evolved. The demonic has evolved. In many places, it is beyond that. People engage the elements of the earth. People speak into the dust. People speak into the earth. In Africa, our local witchcraft is still there. Maybe they put charm. You often hear that somebody stepped on something and the legs begin to swell. That's local technology. In certain places, they don't need to pour blood on the ground or put food for you to step on. They'll release the utterance into the air. Just the way we are moving in technology, now we are talking of the age, we are talking of AI, artificial intelligence. There are new levels of technology in the demonic that is rising. That men can be defiled through songs. Men can be defiled through art. Men can be defiled by watching movies. You can watch a movie that was dedicated on an altar of darkness. You finish watching it and lust glues to your soul. You can listen to a song, and when you finish, lust comes into your heart. You can read a book, and when you finish, you have opened the door for demons to visit you in the night. Just the way physical technology is evolving. Now AI is coming. When AI comes into full play, many people lose their job. Because technology will run everything. In the realm of the spirit, there are upgrades of demonic activities coming into the earth. But you see, the good news is that there are super upgradings going on in the realm of light. And God calls us to align. Just the way witchcraft can use the wind to transport. We see that God will use the wind to transport Philip. Just the way witches and occult people will speak to the earth, speak to the element of the heavens. We see in the Bible that the servants and the prophets of God were engaging these things in order to rule over the works of darkness. When you read through the scripture in the book of Job chapter 38 from verse 12, God asks Job, "Have you commanded thy morning since the beginning of thy days? To cause the dawn to lay hold of the ends of the earth that the wicked might be shaken out of it." What was God asking Job? Have you released utterance? Have you reprogrammed your day? Have you spoken into the day to shift demonic agenda, to bring judgment against the works of the enemy? It said that the dawn may lay hold of the ends of the earth. What do we call the dawn? Is the rising of the sun. And that's what occult people and people who serve the devil do. They release programmings into the heavenly bodies. And as the sun begins to rise, the effect comes into the earth. God was asking Job, have you also learned to speak into the heavenly bodies? Have you learned to prophesy and shift things? Have you commanded thy morning since the beginning of the day? He said to cause the dawn, the rising sun, to lay hold of the ends of the earth so that the wicked can be shaken. It means the wicked can be shaken out of the earth. When a righteous man has revelation of how the earth works, let me tell you, there are ordinances that govern the earth. There are ordinances that govern the heavens. So you see in the book of Job chapter 38, God asked Job that question in verse 12 and 13. You go to verse 31, put Job 38, 31. God began to ask Job, he said, can thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring out Maseroth out of Assisi? He said, can thou guide Arcturus and her sons? What is God talking about? What is Pleiades? What is Orion? What is Maseroth? What is Arcturus? There are certain bodies of stars in the heavenlies. So Job said, so long as the northern star is still up, he knows that the Redeemer lives. God will ask Job that question. He said, can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? It means Pleiades has her influence over the earth. Maseroth has her influence over the earth. Arcturus has her influence over the earth. Orion has her influence over the earth. Look at the next verse. He said, do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set her dominion upon the earth? Do you know the ordinances? Do you know the statute, the principle, the laws by which the heavenly body operates? Can you set her dominion on the earth? NLT says, do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you use them to do what? Regulate the earth. There are things that the fathers of old knew that the average believer in our generation does not know. So he thinks everything is just to call blood of Jesus and say in the name of Jesus. As powerful as the blood of Jesus is, as powerful as the name of Jesus is, you don't use one law, one principle in the kingdom to silence others. It is precept upon precept. There are things that is not just to bind the devil. When the witch is attacking you, when somebody is under a spell, when the curse is being released, it's not just to shout blood of Jesus. There is what to do. God was asking Job, do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you use them? Can you set their dominion on the earth? God wants us to know certain laws of how the earth and the heavens and the spirit realm works so that we can establish dominion on the earth. That's what prophetic dominion is about. Understanding the laws of God, understanding the laws of the spirit, understand the laws of the heavenly bodies and the earth. See, for years I've been studying this subject I'm telling you about. And there are insights that God has given me lately. For years, I've been studying this thing. Because for many years, over 10 years ago, I've had supernatural experiences. I've had dreams where God began to give me insight about these things. And he set me to follow them. He set me to pursue and understand them in the light of the scripture. So that a people can rise that can bind the works of darkness. There is what if you know a witch threatens you, you will sleep. You will not be afraid. The reason why a witch can tell you you will not wake up tomorrow is that there is something the witch knows that you don't know. The reason why a witch can do a programming and everybody's destiny in family begins to go in a particular direction. Yet we come to church and say we love you Jesus. There's something that witch know that you don't know. Many people, many believers are not intelligent in the ways of light. We are not intelligent. The way the people who serve the devil have intelligence in the ways of darkness, the average believer does not. And I made up my mind that I will search through the scriptures. I will understand the laws and the principles of God, the laws that govern the earth, how to raise a generation of believers that will walk in victory and dominion, how to prepare the church for the days to come. And so I've been studying the scripture. Because I began to study how the prophets of old, how the patriarchs were able to invoke the elements of the nature of nature against the works of the enemy. Do you know the ordinances of the heaven? Can you set a dominion on the earth? What did Joshua know in the book of Joshua chapter 10 from verse 12? That in the day that they fought with the Amorites, as the sun was going down, the Bible said Joshua spoke that the sun should stand still over Gibeon. And the Bible said the sun stood still upon Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Ajalon. He said the sun still stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. He hearkened unto the voice of a man. A man spoke and said, "Sun, stand still until we win the battle over Amorite." And the Bible said that day God hearkened to the voice of a man. It was this thing that Joshua did that is the reason why we have a leap year. It's the reason why one day is missing in February. It was this declaration of Joshua. It was a man that altered the calendar of the whole humanity. Say, "Sun, stand still." What did Deborah know? I'm saying this because many of us are coming from places where we are victims of demonic violations. Demons have violated you. Men have violated you. People's destinies have been marginalized. Because men who are intelligent, in the operations of the spirit, know how to engage these things in darkness to do what? To marginalize the destinies of men. To keep men in bondage and perpetual oppression. There is something that these people know that the average believer do not know. So Joshua asked the sun to stand still. He spoke to the heavens. What did Deborah know? In Judges chapter 5 verse 20. That in the day that Israel fought with the Canaanites, when Sisera and his men had come against Israel. Look at verse 20. The Bible said they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Go on. The river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river of Kishon. Oh my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. The Bible said in that day the stars in their constellation fought against Sisera. Even the ancient river Kishon swept them away. Swept them away. What did Deborah know? When she saw that the battle was going against Israel, she knew how to invoke the laws of the heaven. She understood the ordinances of the heaven. The question that God was asking Job, she knew the utterance to make, and suddenly the ocean current began to move. Suddenly there was flood. When you see flood in a city, don't just say it's nature that is reacting. You don't know the people that have spoken to it. It was the river, the ancient river Kishon, that swept Sisera and his men and gave Israel an advantage over them in the day of battle. But the Bible tells us, you may just look and see a river sweeping people away and giving Israel the advantage to conquer them, but you may not know what happened overboard. The Bible says it was the stars in their courses that fought against Sisera. Because if you understand geography, you will know that the stars and the movement of the heavenly bodies is what determined the movement of the ocean current. That's why sailors and pilots must understand navigations. You cannot be a successful pilot if you don't understand geography. You cannot be a sailor if you don't understand geography, because you must understand the coordinates of the earth. When a sailor gets lost maybe in the sea, he can't use his navigation tools anymore. He has been taught manually to look at the movement of the stars and the sun and find his way to the nearby harbor. Sailors that have been trained, they know that. If their navigation tools are not working, they know how to look at the alignment of the moon and the star, and they know that the ocean current will come in this direction. These are some of the things that meteorologists use, that they can tell you the temperature of tomorrow is going to be 42 degrees. They can tell you it's going to be cold tomorrow. How did they do that? It is men who do not even function necessarily by the Holy Spirit. They are able to understand the ordinances of the heaven from the wisdom of man, and they develop technology around them. He said the stars in their constellation, they fought. Because Genesis chapter 1 tells us from verse 14 and 16 that God made the sun and the moon and the stars. He made two great lights. The greater light to rule over the day and the lesser light to rule over the night. So the sun rules over the day, the moon rules over the night. A sailor knows that if he can't see the moon, he can't see certain stars. Whether it's a northern star, whether it's the Orion, the Arcturus. If he cannot see the movement of those stars, he knows that he can be in trouble. So Deborah knew the prophetic utterance to make so that the stars in the alignment began to impact upon the ocean current, upon the current of the river. Suddenly the river started moving. The waves started tilting towards a particular direction, and it swept Sisera and his army. What did David know in 2 Samuel chapter 8? 2 Samuel chapter 18. The Bible said when Absalom came against David, he took over the palace, he took over the stronghold. David was outside the city and his men. And when they went to fight against the men of David, verse 18, 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 8. The Bible said in the day that Absalom was killed, the scripture says trees killed more men than the sword. Do you know how Absalom died? He was running upon the horse, and because he had long hair, the tree caught him and trapped him. Then what did Joab did? But the Bible saying that they look at it. 2 Samuel 18 verse 8. He said, for the battle deer was scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood, the trees, devoured more people that day than the sword. What a mystery. Trees were killing people more than sword. So a man can be passing, and then the branch of a tree will move and sweep him out of his horse. Do you think that's natural? Do you know the covenant David had with God? Do you know the prayer that David prayed before his men went into battle? That day, trees killed more people than sword. How many of you have watched the movie Lord of the Ring? Did you see one part where trees were fighting? You may look at it and think it is just a movie. Those guys are many years ahead of the average believer. You don't know insights that people have into the realm of the spirit that make them act that kind of movie. The Bible says on that day, the trees devour more men. When you read the book of Psalms, you will know that David was a deep prophet. He understood the realm of the spirit. I've said this before, that the prophetic anointing is not just to have gift in word of knowledge and ministering to people alone. One of the things that the prophetic anointing does in the life of a believer is that it opens your spirit to the understanding of the realm of the spirit. That's why native doctors and people who serve the devil, they know what sacrifice to offer. If you come to somebody and say, you like this girl, you come to one baba and say, you like this girl, and she doesn't want to marry you, the baba will tell you, meet me in the evening. There's something he can conjure and tell you to say with your mouth. Use it to touch your tongue. When you go and look at her, she will follow you like a goat being led to the slaughter. That's what we call love potions. That thing you call love potion is actually what the Bible calls sorcery. How spirits are invoked into material objects. Charms and all of those things is a display of sorcery. What kind of intelligence do people have in the realm of darkness that a man can tell you, just put... You see a lot of these Hausa people, especially these wealthy ones, they have some ring in their hand. They call it Azulfa. It's a ring of favor. Eh? You know, I was ministering in Warri over the weekend, and I was teaching in the morning believers and minister session. And one of the things I was telling them, I said, this part of the south where you guys are, you people seem to be very strong here in divination. There's a strong operation of divination and witchcraft. I said, down in the north, the extreme north, they are stronger in sorcery and astrology. There is an anointing that teaches so that you can enter a territory, you can know the kind of spirit that works. That's why in the southern part of Nigeria, they have people they call rainmakers. You want to do maybe funeral or wedding in some community, you had better go and settle them, because they will bring rain. What do they know that they can bring rain? What do they know? Are they born again? That some people will boast in the flesh and say, if they don't settle us, rain will scatter this wedding, and it will be so. What do they know? What does a believer need to know so that when an agent of darkness, a warlock, is boasting, you will know that he's preparing to go to the grave? You will tell him, oh God, be careful. This fight you want to start, you are taking a journey that you will not return. There's something you can know that gives you that kind of audacity. That if a warlock looks at you and warns you, you say, oh God, take it easy. Don't start a fight that you cannot finish. Because we are not just boasting. There is something you know in God. There's something you know in God. I started studying the scripture to understand these laws. Because one of the things that the Lord brings me to understand is that in the last days, there's going to be an intense revival of the spirit of divination and witchcraft. That's why God needs to raise a prophetic generation. When you read the book of Acts, you will see that the spirit of divination and witchcraft were the two major spirits that came against the revival. Because divination is a counterfeit of the prophetic. Witchcraft and sorcery is a counterfeit of the apostolic. So Acts chapter 16, you will see the lady who had the spirit of Python. Then you will see the guy in Acts chapter 6 called what? Simon the sorcerer. The one that bewitched the whole city of Samaria. It means there's something a man can do in darkness to bewitch an entire city. If a man can bewitch a city, how much more a family? How much more an individual? So what do these guys know in darkness? Are we willing to stay with the word of God and say, Holy Spirit, open our eyes? What did our fathers know? What did our ancestors in the faith know? What did Joshua know that the sun could stand still? What did Deborah know? That the stars in their courses can fight against Sisera, and the ancient river Kishon can sweep away the men of the Canaanite. What did they know? What was God trying to teach Job? He said, have you commanded thy morning since the beginning of thy day to cause the dawn to take hold of the ends of the earth? What did they know? Nathaniel, that man fighting your people in the village, what does he know? You need to know more than him. There is a knowledge and an authority that you need to have so that you can go home one day and speak in 5 minutes and say, we lay you to rest. That's where we want to enter. That if somebody is troubling a city, you have given the opportunity to repent and refuse. We can just go and say, Lord, today we send him in the way of his ancestors. What do men of old know? That Paul can look at Elymas that was trying to turn away, is it Silius Paplos, the deputy governor, that Paul said, be careful, this path that you are taking, as a matter of fact, today you'll be blind. And the Bible says veils came upon his eyes, he became blind. What do these men know? What kind of prayer did David pray when his men were going into war? That the trees killed more people than the sword. What kind of prayer did David pray? What did David know? What did they know? The Bible in Exodus, I think chapter 14 verse 21, it says, and Moses stretched forth his rod, and that day the east wind came and parted the river. The east wind. And in chapter 8 again, the Bible says, when Moses stretched forth his rod, the east wind sent what? Locusts into the land to fill everywhere and to eat up all the harvest of the people. What did they know? I found out the prophetic ministry is not just about giving people word of knowledge and prophecy. And I began to press into God. I said, this realm are the realm of gifts, but there is something higher. There is an adventure you can have in the Holy Ghost where the realm of the Spirit opened to you in 3D. Where you can enter into a place like Elisha. I became dissatisfied. The prophetic ministry is not just to prophesy to one people. What did the prophets of old know? That Elisha can get to, what is it called? Elisha got into a city. And the Bible said the situation of this land is okay, but the water is bad. What did Elisha know? That he said, give me a cruse of salt. He went to the source of this water and he poured the salt. He said, today is this water here. Suddenly the whole water in the land was changed. What did he know? What did they know? What kind of mysteries did God open to them? That we can bring deliverance to a territory. There are things we can do that will break ancient embargo over a city. What did Jesus know when they say, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus came out of Nazareth. Nazareth was not known to produce greatness, but Jesus came out of Nazareth. There are things we must understand. There are mysteries. What did Jeremiah know? In Jeremiah chapter 22 verse 29, the Bible says he spoke, he said, render Coniah childless. He said, render this man childless. He shall not prosper. And no seed in his entire house will prosper. I hope you know there are people who have stood over some families and say, this family, you are going to be childless. No one will prosper in this family. What did Jeremiah say? He said, oh earth, hear the word of the Lord. He released a decree upon the earth. He gave the earth an instruction to ensure that Coniah is childless. Put verse 30. Thus hear the Lord, write this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. What did Jeremiah know? That he could stay in his closet and speak to the earth to make a man childless, to ensure that a man and his generation do not prosper. Are there no such demonic embargo in the lives of many families? Where a woman who has not brushed her teeth for 21 days, a woman who cannot spell her name, will look at a family and say, oh earth, render this family useless. No one will prosper. And then everybody can go to school and have their degree. And the degree is sealed in the realm of the spirit. Because an utterance have come forth that let the earth render the people childless and let no one prosper. What do they know? Don't let anybody fool you. We must understand the ordinances of the realm of the spirit. We must not see. Let me tell you, the prophetic is a measure. I find out that when I read through the scripture and I see every time the prophets of the Bible, I knew that there was something they knew. There was something they had with God beyond word of knowledge and prophecy. There was something they had with God beyond the ability to call people's name and describe their village. There was something they had with God. There was something they knew about the realm of the spirit. They knew when to speak and angels would show up to execute their utterance. There was something they knew. There were things they knew about the realm of the spirit. The Bible in Psalm 121 verse 6, it said the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. I hope you know there are people who slept, they didn't wake up. It was the moon that smit them by night. And then the doctor can give it a name and say it's heart attack. Somebody released a programming, the moon smoothing by night. There are many ailments and attacks in the earth that we look for name to give them. Medical name. Meanwhile, there are spiritual intelligence that are working. Powers behind the scene that is responsible for such manifestation. And the doctor will call it cancer. The doctor will call it cerebral palsy. The doctor will look for all kinds of names to call it. Say, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Psalm 91 verse 5 and 6. It said, the Lord shall keep you. Psalm 91 verse 6. He said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness. So there's a pestilence that walk in darkness. Pestilence is not an art. Read the Bible. In prophetic terminology, pestilence is a spirit. There is a spirit that walks past a place and pestilence will come. The Bible says, not the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth in noonday. There is a spirit called the spirit of destruction. In the book of Revelation, it's called Abaddon, Apollyon, that angel from Abyss. Remember, in 2019, God told us that there was going to be death, strange sickness that will come into the earth. Economies will be wiped out. People, all kinds of things will happen. And God gave us Revelation chapter 9. And I was prophesying that day. And I was reading the Bible, where the Bible says the grasshopper had crowns in their head. They were the ones that will come into the earth as a spirit of pestilence to eat up men. And when the virus came in 2020, it was called Corona. Corona means crowned. It was called the crowned virus. The scripture has described it. And the angel that was responsible for that activity is called Apollyon. Do you know the millions of people that died? I don't care about the whatever propaganda you call it. Maybe it was forged in a lab. You don't know that spirit partner with men. The earth belongs to the sons of men. If a spirit wants to come into the time gate, it will partner with a man. So whether you say they form it in a lab in Wuhan, China, or is whatever that happened, is that a gate of time was opened for a principality to walk into the earth. Pestilence and Apollyon were in partnership, and millions of people died in a few months. He said, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. He said, you will not be afraid of the terror that walks in darkness, nor the sword that walks in noonday, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. So pestilence is a spirit. It walks in darkness. If a man open a gate of time for it, it will come into time. You can hear that a land suddenly there were grasshopper that ate up the thing. You can hear that famine happened in the territory. You can hear that there was earthquake, there was hurricane, and you say it's the earth, it's mother earth. What you don't understand is that there are intelligent beings, principalities behind the scene, activating the element of nature to bring torment upon humanity. And you say it's Mother Earth that is crying. And bring all kinds of principles, ecological principles, and laws, and hypotheses, and say let's protect nature, let's keep the ozone layer. What you don't understand is that there are intelligent principalities behind the scene that know how to activate nature to bring torment and pain upon humanity. There are things that God must open our understanding to see. There are things. The book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 8. It says, seek the God that created Orions and Pleiades. The God that knows the shadow of the dead. Seek the God, verse 9. It says, seek the God that strengthens the spoil against the mighty, the strong, so that he can come against the fortress. You know what that means? There are men that know how to activate the element of the nature. They are called the strong. They know how to activate the power of the Orions and the Pleiades to afflict men in the earth. They know how to do programmings. They know how to release utterances into the stars to plunder men in the earth, to steal the inheritance of men. So the Bible says, seek the God who created those things. He didn't say seek those things. Jeremiah chapter 10. God says, for the Gentiles seek, they are confounded by the elements of the heavens. They say, for you it should not be so. But the Bible says, seek the God that created them. Don't seek to know how those things. Don't seek those things in the flesh. Seek the God that can give you insight into them and authority to release power. He said, learn not the way of the hidden, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the hidden are dismayed at them. The hidden, unbelievers, the witches, the warlock, the sorcerers, they are carried away by the elements of the heavens. They are carried away. The Bible said, don't be so, don't join them. But know that prophetic authority has been given to you to speak and to change these things. You will hear the prophet throughout the scripture asking the earth to hear. Psalm 67, he said, let the people praise thee, O God. Then shall the earth yield thy increase. The Lord our God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The earth can hear your voice and answer you. The earth can hear the voice of a man and answer him. The earth can hear your voice and give you plenty of corn, wine, and oil. God wants us to be understand these things. See, this is how we're going to disarm witchcraft. All of this, see, there are organizations, there are nations that are being powered right now by the spirit of witchcraft. That are being powered, there are cultures and civilizations that are being influenced by this spirit. In Obadiah chapter 1, verse 4, God was speaking to Edom. He said, even if you rise like the eagles, even if you make your nest in the star, he said, I will bring you down. People raise their altars in the star. When you see somebody enchanting, I've ministered to people, I've seen some of those things, and I began to study. I said, Lord, I need to understand how these things work, how we can bring believers out of the hold of darkness. What do we need to know? What do we need to do? How do we need to disarm this spirit so that you can be praying? You are praying the night, and the Holy Spirit says, speak into the wind. I will show you in the Bible. Into the dust. How does witchcraft work? How these people walk. And you will go around, you will see structure in the Western world, you will see governments of nations that are built by demonic wisdom. And God wants us to come into spiritual intelligence. When you pray, when the Bible says your gates shall be open day and night, they shall not be shut, that men will bring unto you the wealth of the Gentiles. He said, their kings shall come to you in their procession. It means the gate of a man's life can be open. It means the gate of a man's life can be shut. If your gates are shut in the spirit, it doesn't matter what you do in the physical. There are things that cannot come into your life because your gates are shut. So we study scripture, we come into the place of authority. We're going to pray shortly. I know we've taken more time today. How you can speak when you see witchcraft, when you need to come into a place of spiritual intelligence, when you come into a territory, you can discern the kind of spirit that is working. When you enter into an organization, you enter into a shop, into an office, you will know. You will see some people, you will know. I came out of a taxi one day in Abuja to enter. I was very hungry. I think I was coming from the airport. It was night. I went to just get something to eat. The moment I dropped out of the taxi and look at the building, it was as if the curtains of time was rolled away. And I saw a huge serpent wrap the building with the head like this towards the door. And then people were busy entering. Business is running. You don't know the power, the altar that powers that business. That's why you can see unbelievers. They have shops. Business is running. People are buying customers. You see the believers sit down in shop. Reading. Are we not concerned? I'm teaching you some of the things. See, you must become dissatisfied. I've been asking God lately to give me more insight. How can we bring a territory out of bondage? I told God, I said, there are certain things in the lives of people I don't want to pray twice. There are places you minister to some people and they give you the pedigree of all the ministers that have come to pray. Went to pray for one lady who was paralyzed, and they give us the pedigree. They give us all the meetings that they've taken her to, the great men of God. And it's as if they are saying, okay, you are a small boy, you're on the queue. Let's see what can come out of your own prayer. I say, Lord, there are things I don't want to pray about twice. Do something. Open this veil. Open your understanding. I saw a man. I was passing in front of the house with my wife years back. And I looked, and the Lord told me that the spirit of death is in this house. And I didn't know what to do. And later on, I came back and just knocked. I said, I want to greet them. Just came to greet. At least they know I've been passing in front of the house. I was living on the street. So I said, I just came to greet you people. How are you people doing? How is your father? How is your mother? And they said, their father is very ill. And so when I went to see him, he had sores all over his body like Job. How did this all happen? He was a missionary in a part of Southern Cardinal. He was a missionary. So he went there to plant a church. He planted the church, did outreach, planted the church, and came back to his town in Zaria. And then it began to rain when he came back. And the lightning struck him on the back of his head. That's how boils, sores started coming out of his body like Job. What happened? Lightning was what struck him. Was he the only person in the whole of Zaria? Because you see, that email had his name. It was an email they sent from the realm of the spirit. And lightning struck the church in the village where he built and broke the building into two. So when I looked at the man that day, I didn't know how to pray. I remember I said, Lord, you told me that the spirit of death was here. What do you want me to do? The Lord said, tell them to bring a cup of water and put salt and give him. His liver and his kidney had swollen out. His stomach was out. Now, if you give somebody who has liver and kidney problems salt, his pH level will rise. He can die within 30 minutes. At least I know simple chemistry and biology. The Lord said, put water inside a cup of salt and give him. My hand was shaking. My mouth was shaking. But I felt the anointing so strong. And I said, bring a cup of water. They brought. I said, bring salt. I carry spoon. I dip. I said, drink. I said, God told me that the spirit of death was here. And when I came, I knew that spirit of death was taking him. When I gave him to drink, I didn't pass there the following day. I was watching to see if I would hear any news. But I knew that the voice of God was so clear to me that day. He said, this is what we'll give him. After 3 days, I passed. At least I didn't hear that somebody died. So I knocked in the house, and it was the one who opened the door. The sores in his body had dried up. His kidney and liver had gone inside. That was how the man was healed. They brought plenty of fish to my house that day. The next thing, he invited me for a crusade in that same village. And when we went to the village, we were leaving the lodge to the crusade ground. We had a terrible accident. His face tore, blood was everywhere, the airbag. The part where my wife was sitting, she was pregnant, a car crossed into that part. The first thing I did was to check if my wife's stomach was still intact. Before going to the crusade ground, we took the man. Some people came, took us to a nearby, health center, and they began to stitch his face. So some of the pastors took me to the crusade ground. I went and ministered. Had a mighty harvest of souls, miracles, and then we came back to Jos. Do you know that a few weeks later, I took my wife to Abuja from Jos, and then dropped her in Abuja and went to Zaria for a conference. When I had that conference, I was coming back. I was driving alone. I was very exhausted. When I got to that same point around the community, it was raining. I didn't know when I slept off. And the car swerved off the way, went down the ditch, and somersaulted 3 times. And I had a supernatural experience that day. I saw a man stood behind the boot with whites and stretched his hand and pulled me out of the boot. It was close to a military checkpoint. So the people came and the villagers were shouting, he came out of the boot. How come? He came out of the boot. They checked the car. Everything was everything was gone. The engine broke. Everything, the car squeezed. The car was a scrap. I came out, they had to put cervical collar. Some of you knew me that time. Maybe Pastor Lado and a few persons. You know what happened? When they took me to the hospital and they laid me on the bed and they were checking me, I had a vision. And I found out that what actually happened in the spirit, I didn't see this for many years. I found that what actually happened in the spirit was that when I drove and got to that point, there were an array of witches that stood on the road. And they got some assaulted down the ditch. I kept that vision in my heart for many years. So these are part of the reason where I began to study the realm of the spirit. So maybe, if not for the message of God, they would have just said, a young minister went to preach, he was coming, he had an accident and he died. And you don't know the spirit intelligence that took place. Except God open your eyes, you will be blind. I went out of the city, I was ministering, and I was ministering to a lady. And I looked into her stomach, and God gave me a vision. You know what I saw in her stomach? I saw a doll. This kind of like toy, doll that children play with. That's what they projected into her stomach. And I said, I command that doll to come out. And she screamed. And she said she slept, she had a dream. She was trusting God for a child. And a woman carried the doll and put upon her stomach. And the doll entered into her stomach. Her stomach started growing. I'm saying this thing because we need spirit intelligence. Let's stand on our feet. We'll just pray for 5 minutes and we'll close. When we talk of prophetic dominion, God must give you sight. You must stay until God gives you sight. Until the spirit of faith takes hold of you. Then when you begin to decree, certain things will change. Maybe there's somebody that has said, nobody will rise in your family. Maybe somebody has spoken to the earth. I was praying with one of our brothers and he told me about his village. He said there's a stream close to their house. Nobody eats the fish. If you bring the fish, you put it, if you like, cook it for 3 days, it will not be done. And if the elders find out that you take fish, there is a consequence. I mean, in this plateau, it's not so far away. And the Lord began to give insight. It is that water that is responsible for the manipulations. Why people die untimely and strange things happen. You are going to open your mouth and say, Lord, open my eyes. There are things we need to know about our community. There are things you need to know about the realm of the spirit. When a witch is attacking you, what do? Will you just be shouting, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus? The Bible says the Lord shall be the spirit of strength upon them that takes the battle to the gate. And strength is not just dunamis. Strength is primarily from light. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases in strength. The Bible says, with good counsel, thou shalt wage thy own war. That in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. He said, if you faint in the day of adversary, then your strength is small. You want to rule in the midst of your enemies. You want to rule over the powers that are contending with you. The powers that have said you will not rise. The stronghold that have said no man will become anything. Men that have spoken into the earth, today you will reprogram the earth to work for you. You will command the earth to begin to yield an increase to you. You will command the earth to swallow everyone that has stood on your paths. The Bible said the earth opened his mouth and swallowed 23,000 people in the book of Numbers chapter 16. We must be armed with strategy. We must know how to engage the elements of the heavens. You are going to open your mouth and say, Lord, give me light. Give me understanding. Give me revelation. Let the days of affliction end. The scripture says, weeping may endure through the night, but joy comes in the morning. The night speaks of a season of darkness and ignorance. If you have darkness and ignorance in your mind, there will be a situation around you that will cause perpetual weeping. He said, but joy comes in the morning. Joy speaks of light. Joy, the morning speaks of light. The morning speaks of the revelation of the word of God. Until light comes to you, your season of joy will not come. I don't care what has been afflicting you. I don't care what has been causing pain for your life, for your family. Joy is springing forth now. Your season of joy is about to manifest. Your season of weeping is coming to an end. Your season of weeping is coming to an end. Light is shining upon you. You are entering your season of joy. You are entering your season of joy. In 2 minutes, you are going to say, Holy Ghost, open my eyes. David said, open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The mysteries that we teach, they are in the word of God. The Lord needs to open your eyes. You need to behold the wondrous things that are in the word. You need to know how to pray, how to make decree, and angels will be released. Bless the Lord, O ye servants of the Lord, who excel in strength, who do his commandment, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, O ye angels. When we begin to activate the realm of revelation, we begin to release the spirit of faith. The angelic realm will begin to open. Men can speak in the earth, and demons will carry their assignment in the life of others. We need to come into understanding so that we can release decrees, and angels will be dispatched, and angels will be deployed, messengers of the Lord. Somebody needs to stand and say, I shut the gate of death. The gate of death that has come against my family, I shut that gate. I shut that gate. That spirit that has been assigned to bring poverty, to keep men in the low places of the earth, you need to stand and say, by the authority of God, I bind that spirit. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Can you say, Lord, give me the keys of the kingdom. Open to me the mysteries of the kingdom. There are mysteries, there are keys that you need to have so that you can release judgment against the powers of the enemy, so that you can bind the gates of death, so that you can bind the gates of wickedness, so that you can bind the floods from overflowing. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you shut their dominion in the earth? Sons of God need to stand and say, let the earth hear me today. Let the earth bear witness unto me. Let the earth render this evil man childless. Let the earth swallow their altar of witchcraft. Let the earth swallow their altar of wickedness. Habeliamo cabarandas. Lamino mo cababo. Habeliamo cabababalata. Zabilia combregedista. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 15, that when the dragon released a flood against the woman and her seed, he said the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood. You need to know when to command the earth to swallow every flood that has come against you. Every flood of wickedness that has been released against you tonight. Let the earth swallow it. The dragon opened her mouth to release flood. Who is that wizard? Who is that witch? Who is that occult man that has opened his mouth to release curses? The dragon opened his mouth and released a flood. Who is that woman that has opened her mouth to release curses? Let the earth open its mouth and swallow it. Let the earth swallow every curse. Let the earth swallow every curse. Let the earth swallow every curse. Every word that has been spoken into the star, into the moon, into the sun, every utterance that has been spoken, that the wind has carried, every evil assignment that the wind has carried against your life, today we decree, let the earth swallow it. Let the earth swallow it. Let the earth swallow it. Have respect unto thy covenant. From the dark places of the earth are full of the habitation of cruelty. There are all kinds of wickedness going on in the dark places of the earth. The sons of God must arise. We must be educated in the way of light. We must know how to stand by the blood of the covenant and speak and say, Lord, Every conspiracy carried out in the dark places of the earth, every satanic embargo over your life that was orchestrated from the covens of darkness, let the earth swallow them. Let the earth swallow them. We release the judgment of the Lord. We release the sword of the Lord. We release the sword of the Lord. We bring the sword of judgment against every demonic programming. Every programming that is waiting for a season to manifest. Like Haman. Haman carried out divination and sorcery. The Bible called it the art of Paul. The art of Paul. He was checking in the realm of the spirit the right day to strike Israel. You just find out people die on certain days. You don't know the demonic calculation that has taken place. That men do divination, men do sorcery, have scouted the realm of the spirit. They have found an appointed day that the gate of time will be open for the spirit of death to come in. And then they program that day. For Israel, it was supposed to be in December. They had checked through the heart of Paul that on December 8th, they were going to lay Mordecai in the gallows that Haman had dug. But because Mordecai was a watchman at the gate, a death sentence had been decreed over him and the children of Israel. The spirit of the watchman began to stir him. He went to Esther and said, Esther, come on, declare a fast, mobilize the whole children of Israel. Mobilize the Jews in Shushan. Let everyone pray and fast. He said, for a man had imagined an evil thing against the Jews in the entire land. It was a day of annihilation. It was a day of genocide that was programmed for the whole of Israel. How did a man achieve that? It was through divination and sorcery. The Bible called it the art of Paul. It was an evil day that was marked. An evil day had been marked in the calendar for the annihilation of the whole children of Israel. But the watchman anointed was upon Mordecai. People just died and we are not able to explain. Somebody went to work, got promotion. As he was coming back with his promotion letter to show his wife, that day paralysis met him. Have you seen such evil under the sun? Evil will not enter my life unknowingly. Evil will not come around your gates. There is how to build an earth. There is how to mobilize the heavens to fight for you. The stars in their courses fought again. It was by the permission of God that Satan struck. In the name of Jesus. Let me show you a scripture. We'll pray. Put us. We'll pray. Put us. We'll pray. Put us. We'll pray. Put us, 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 we'll pray.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.